because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws, too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing. Right to self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous ones will not turn into guns. All the unions know is asking for. All the bodies made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made sense. And I won't. The
Well, hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day, wherever you are, and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, M. Tap, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. Well, I'm sure hoping that everything works out here, as definitely having the issues again, this time a multitude of jumbled up messages from the fine folks at BTR just not letting me sign in. I don't understand, but I'm here now, and I'm still getting a bunch of error messages here from BTR. You know, I was listening to Chief's show earlier, and he made the comment that there's a lot of technical glitches for everybody but his. Chief is on the free plan. Okay, I'm paying for this. This is costing me money to do. And Chief never has an issue with his problem, and his is free. So once again, if you want to do like a free 30-minute show, this would be the place to come do it. Just come do it for free. They take care of you. This is irritating. Speaking of Chief, I see you just hopped into the chat room. Hey, Chief, how are you doing? I don't know. I don't think BTR does the auto correct either, because they used to do this little thing where when they would process the audio, if they detected large gaps of no sound, they would automatically edit it as part of their processing before they put it up. I don't think they do that anymore. So I may have to spend some time editing and hoping that that gets taken care of before it gets distributed, because, you know, otherwise I just wasted almost 10 minutes of time that is allocated for radio for the rebroadcast. But anyway, all that crap put aside, Chief in the chat room just said, you should be a Bernie Sanders loving freeloader like me, which clearly is not the case, but it is funny. Speaking of Bernie Sanders, obviously the time of the live broadcast, of course, is October 15th, 2019. We're just a little bit after 7 p.m. Eastern, and there is a Democratic showcase tonight. They keep calling it a debate. I'm not going to call it a debate. It isn't going to be a debate. It's just going to be a showcase of which guy's crazier than which gal, and which gal's crazier than the other one, and, you know, typical Democratic stuff. So it should be interesting. The one thing I am curious to find out about, not enough to watch it, I'll just check out the highlights later, because I don't think I can handle that much of an infusion of insanity at one time. It would just be too much. My grasp on reality would probably just finally crack, and I would have to go get me one of those lovely little jackets with the sleeves that tie in the back. You know the ones I'm talking about. So I'm going to avoid it. However, one thing I am kind of interested in finding out after the fact is whether or not they actually go after crazy, creepy Uncle Joe over the Hunter Biden stuff. Because while it is clear the overwhelming majority of fine folks in the Democratic Party want Joe out of the way, it is also extremely clear that the type of behavior that Joe Biden was engaged with his son Hunter, is considered fair play in D.C. Now, they know it's wrong. If they didn't know it was wrong, you wouldn't see things going on like the Hunter Biden apology tour, which is kind of what we got a glimpse with this ABC interview. But what will happen is this interesting little sub-story of how they're going to go about it. Because, you know, most of the other people that are going to be sharing the stage with Joe Biden tonight either are also engaged to some extent in the same type of behavior, or they're desperately awaiting their turn to engage in similar behavior. So I don't think they want to put themselves in a position where they have zero cover should they ever be caught doing the same thing. So I think they're going to look for something else. I think they're going to continue along the same path they're currently have been utilizing of, hey, you're old, you're out of touch, and you're just not enough to the left for today's young, hip socialist, I mean Democrat. I think that's going to be the point. But hey, if somebody like a Tulsi Gabbard decides to break the mold, although I'm not sure that she's all that effective at attacking anybody other than everybody's favorite Californian, Kamala Harris. I mean, and Tulsi's really good at attacking Kamala. And I hope she continues to do that because that is what she is good at. But she might be the only one that has enough oomph, enough cojones on the stage to actually say, hey, yeah, and by the way, Joe, we keep saying that it's bad when Donald Trump does some of this stuff. How much of this stuff do you think is okay for you to do? Of course, you know, that's going to get her booed by most of the people on the stage. But hey, it's whatever. And the whole Hunter Biden thing. By the way, if you haven't seen the ABC interview, let me save you some time. Don't waste your effort. Hunter Biden told a series of half-truths, lies, and avoidance. He avoided some questions. He lied flat out about some questions. And then he told half-truths in some of the questions, all in an effort to try and seem like, hey, there's nothing really to look at here. There's nothing to look at. You don't have to worry about this. I'm just good old Hunter Biden. I'm creepy Uncle Joe's little boy. I'm your creepy little cousin. By the way, if you do, or if you already have, Vorpal Bite, how dare you? Shout out to Vorp, who's joined us in the chat room as well. If you do, or if you already have, let me challenge you to go back. Shut up and eat your baby. If you do take the time to listen to Hunter, close your eyes and listen to a Joe Biden interview from about 10, 15 years ago, and then close your eyes and listen to Hunter and tell me how eerie it is that you think you're listening to the same person. The cadence, the mannerisms, the whole thing. There's no question who's Hunter's daddy. There's no question at all. Not that that's an issue, mind you. And you know, I don't have a problem with a parent trying to help a child do better. I do have a problem with them using the position of political authority to make it happen. Part of the issues with the Hunter Biden interview, Hunter told a flat-out lie when he said he made $0 off of the Chinese deal. Okay? Hunter made money. Now, what they've done, and the media's in on this, they know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to make it look like when President Trump made the statement that the Chinese government gave $1.5 billion to Hunter. Now, he was being imprecise. He was talking about the company that Hunter and John Kerry's son and their friend from Yale, I believe it was, they're trying to talk about the company that the three of them started as an investment firm. The amount of investment experience, the track record these individuals had, pretty slim, if any. And the timing in which the Chinese government decided to give this money to their little company, very odd, 10 days after Hunter made a trip along with Joe Biden. And their excuse for Hunter being on the trip was that Joe's daughter needed a chaperone. Really? A chaperone? Hunter Biden is a chaperone for on a Chinese trip? Really? I'm not sure who's buying that. I'm not sure who's believing that. But that's what they want you to believe. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And this still asks the question, how is it that less than 2 weeks after this visit is when suddenly the Chinese government does something that in the long history of their nation they have never once done before, and that is they give a huge sum of money from their direct government-controlled bank to an outside foreign entity to invest on their behalf. Because that's where the real allegation is. The allegation is that $1.5 billion, along with other non-disclosed dollar sums, were given to their company. Now, it didn't go directly. Now, the fun thing there is that's the half-truth where there's a denial. And even then, he had to be given an opportunity to go back and amend his statement about, oh, no, I've never made a penny off of it. And he had to go back and change it to, no one paid me $1.5 billion. Now, that's a true statement. But the half-truth part of that, the deceptive part of that, is they're completely ignoring the fact that that's not the actual allegation. They're trying to twist what Donald Trump has said to pretend like that's the allegation. It's not it. That's not what the allegation is. That's not what you're being investigated for, son. It's just not. To say he hasn't made any money is a flat-out lie. He has been earning a salary, and just stepping down from the board of this company still doesn't mean he's not continuing to make money, because he's still a partner in this company. The value of the company went way up when they got this money from the Chinese government, by the way. So if they decided to cash out at some point, if he sold his shares, then you have kind of the same deal. Let's pretend you're buying stock, for example. Now, if you had bought into Google when it was first public offered and you held on to it, well, it shot through the freaking roof where it's at now, then you had a chance to make millions after having invested just a small amount of money. But the way they're talking about this, here's the deal. On paper, the value of what you bought is worth a considerable amount. So you have made money on paper. But it's reasonable to make the argument that until you sell your interest in that, you haven't really done anything. You just still have X number of shares. So that's the argument they're making there. Dude's stepping down off the board, but he's not giving up his portion of the company. So he's still making money. Excuse me. He's making money, but he can claim he's not making a huge amount of money because he hasn't cashed out. But to say he hasn't made a penny is both inaccurate, as the value of the business has increased, and also that's to pretend like he wasn't paying himself a salary. Now, I also love the fact that his excuse, I guess we'll call it, his explanation of what his qualifications were involved being on the board of a company that failed horribly while he was on the board, and that he had been an attorney. Been the attorney for so-and-so. And please, that doesn't qualify you to be on the board of a Ukrainian company that's in the energy sector, which is a completely different company and board, by the way, than the Chinese company board that he's finally stepping down from. Step down away from the other. So a lot of misdirection, a lot of intentional confusion, and all in an effort to kind of say sorry, but not sorry. You guys have seen the Reese's commercials. Not sorry, Reese's. In this case, it's not sorry, Biden's. To be a Biden is such a cross to bear. I have no idea what it's like to not be a Biden. Poor Hunter. I hate that for him. Anyway, that has literally nothing to do with what I had planned on talking about today. So what do you say we actually get to a couple of stories that's on today's show description? Number one, it is October. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, the day of the live broadcast is actually the 15th. So it's quite nearly the halfway point of the month. At the end of the month, we have this glorious little holiday we celebrate here in the United States and in some other places around the world. We call it Halloween. Now, Halloween's become a bit of a bugaboo for leftists for some time now, particularly of the social justice warrior variety, because everything is so offensive. So we get to this time of the year, and it becomes a competition almost among some on the left to see who's going to be first to start banning costumes or the first to start canceling events. So the list has started to compile a little bit, and I thought we'd look at some that have already been outed. As I kind of hinted already, every year now, every year since the day of the social justice warrior first arrived, as we get closer and closer to Halloween, the social justice-oriented woke police, they begin issuing their edicts and prescribing certain offensive costumes and canceling Halloween events, you know, in case somebody, you know, anybody might possibly be offended. So late last month, an elementary school in the little town, little Chicago suburb known as Evanston. I say I tried to say it too fast, and I almost mispronounced it. It's Evanston. Anyway, they announced that they would be canceling Halloween altogether over their concerns that some children who did not celebrate the holiday would be offended by chilling costumes and spooky treats. I kid you not, this is really the logic that was used to just say, nope, we're not going to allow Halloween in our town. Businesses, we're not supposed to sell Halloween stuff. There's not supposed to be any trick-or-treating. The little suburb just banned Halloween altogether. They're going to pretend like it's not even written on the calendars they have. It's just, nope. Because some children who aren't allowed to participate might be offended that other kids are. Why does this the city council care? Because they have feelings, and they have feelings about other people's feelings, and it's all about inclusiveness. But you're actually being divisive, not inclusive, because you should, like, welcome. Anyway, there's a Wisconsin school that followed suit not long after, calling the holiday, quote, inappropriate. And since I just said this, it's almost funny, and not inclusive. And also, they did away with parades, parties, and costume wearing in the school. Supervisors at the school district claimed that the holiday made certain children feel excluded and highlighted inequalities. Okay, what's the highlighting of inequalities? Are we talking about poor kids' costumes compared to not-so-poor kids' costumes? You know, I personally, I grew up in a home that wasn't exactly overrunning with cash. In fact, when I was young, I was lucky if I was able to get one of the little plastic with the snap string masks. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't have traded that for anything. Those things were horrible. You could barely see. You couldn't breathe. They were all hot as... Of course, you know, the other side then is around October, it was generally quite a bit cooler. It's been fairly warm this October here in East Tennessee. Right now is probably about the coolest it's been all year. But, you know, my point of it would have been even then, what I said, it wasn't about being poor. It was about being smart with our money. Hey, Halloween's fun, but it's not exactly a high priority here. Smart people do better things with their money. So you can have a cheap costume and still participate. It doesn't mean you're poor. And people bought into that. And you know what? I think people still would. So I'm trying to figure out exactly if that has something to do with the so-called inequalities that are being highlighted. And of course, some kids are feeling excluded, I guess, again, because they're too poor to trick or treat. But yeah, are you seriously going to tell me that you can't find an old sheet and cut some holes in it and pretend like you're just a really colorful ghost if you don't have a white sheet? What's with that strange paisley pattern you have there? I'm the ghost of Prince. Maybe that only works in Minnesota. I don't know. Anyway, across the pond, you know, over in Scotland, there's one school that's literally swapped out Halloween for autumn dance, at least according to the Sun. After two parents complained that, quote, not all families celebrate Halloween. And enforcing kids to purchase Halloween costumes to wear to school could put an unnecessary strain on family budgets. Again, with the money, suddenly there's just kids too poor to have Halloween costumes. You can't get creative. That was always part of the fun. Some of the more creative costumes, some of these costumes that I saw all the way through high school, it didn't cost anything because they already had pretty much everything that they used. I mean, worst case scenario, maybe somebody got into their mom's makeup and ended up ruining some of that. So, oh no, now poor mommy has to go get some new eyeliner because somebody drew some funky shapes or fake stitches on their head for a zombie or a mummy look. Yeah, how terrible is that? What happened to creativity? Oh yeah, we only see creativity when trying to solve a problem on a video game. It's just a bunch of excuses. You know, if you don't celebrate Halloween for religious grounds, I'll give you a pass. You know, I'm not going to criticize. I am going to say, what's the problem? Because whatever it was before, that's not what it is now. If you want to talk about All Hallows Eve, if you want to talk about pagan rituals, if you want to talk about whatever you want to make it into, hey, that's your thing. But that's not really what Halloween is, at least not in the United States. Hasn't been that for a very long time, if it ever really was. I mean, we've really got to go back into the 1700s before you start running into here in the United States that being a thing. I mean, maybe in some communities in the 1800s, but pretty much by 1900 and anything, it was a done deal. So really, it's more about kids dressing up, watching horror movies, and having fun with candy that ordinarily you're probably going to be eating anyway, just not in near the same quantities. What's the problem? Why you got to be like that? But hey, if it's a religious thing, then okay, that's your thing. Just don't make the other people suffer. Two parents. What are these, the king and queen? Is that what makes these two parents more important than all the other parents? I don't understand. Anyway, most schools happily incorporate Halloween into their calendars, though at least for the first 12 years of mandatory schooling. Once students get to college, the real woke police take over. You know, sucking all the fun out of the Halloween with strict rules about costumes are acceptable and which costumes could lead to trouble. Michigan State University leads the way in 2019, and, you know, they've been in the race for several years now, but they're literally, I mean, they're right at the top of their game. They're trying to win this competition this year. Who's the most woke? Who can take the most fun out of every holiday? Michigan State University is leading the way this year, releasing its rules late last week for pasting posters across campus asking students to consider whether their planned costumes are racially, culturally, or ethnically based. Is this a racially based costume? Is this an ethnically? Because we don't want any cultural appropriations going on our campus. In a way, the College Mix reports that posters asking, is your costume racially, culturally, or ethnically based, appear in dorms last week, courtesy of the school's Residence Education and Housing Services. The placards featured examples of costume fails. A guy dressed like a mariachi. Women dressed as Native American. Hypersexualized racism. And in Japanese kimono, and a space alien allegedly representing illegal aliens. Of course, I'm sorry, unless you're doing like a Buzz Lightyear thing and wearing a sombrero underneath your little spacesuit hood, a little glass thing that flips over. You know what I'm talking about. Unless you're wearing a sombrero under there, trying to do the mariachi thing under a Buzz Lightyear costume, I don't see where there's any connection between aliens, of the space variety and the hypersensitive left's idealization of illegal migrants. I don't get it. The American Mirror, which covers incidents of far left meddling across the education system, they were able to get a hold of one of the posters, which gives strict guidance to students celebrating both on and off campus, meaning, guess what, guys? Don't even take your shenanigans where we can't see you, because we're going to know. We've got eyes everywhere. No sombreros and mustache. No Nazi gear. No Rastafarians. No illegal aliens. No Middle Eastern attire, and any other racially, culturally, or ethnically based costumes. No, you just can't do it. Don't you dare dress up like Aladdin or Jasmine or even the genie, I guess. I don't know. I guess that would still qualify. Anyway, students were warned to avoid any costumes that involve cultural appropriations, Western appropriations of non-Western or non-white forms carry with them the connotation of exploitation and dominance. Do any of you guys miss the days when we used to look at stuff like this and say imitation is the most sincere form of it's the most sincere form of flattery, you know? If I'm willing to imitate you and the things you do, it means I think so highly of you that I want to be like you. It should be flattery. Even if it's just for a Halloween costume, if you're literally trying to look like something that exists in real life, then that should be flattery. Now, I liked dressing up like a vampire as a kid because I liked vampires. And I mean like real vampires that go around drinking blood, not the modern day vampires that sparkle in daylight. So they have to hang out in places like Washington State because it rains enough that they can hide from the daylight. You know, not those kind of vampires. I'm not broody enough for that kind of vampire. But seriously, if you want to look for trouble, you're going to find it. And, you know, if you don't find any real trouble, it's easy enough to make it up. That's what you want to do. But, you know, I would like to point out, though, you know, I mentioned Michigan State University was right at the top of the list. As I recall, isn't Sparty a Spartan? Doesn't their mascot actually... Isn't that straight out of Greek history? I would go so far as to say maybe even appropriated from the Greek culture. A group known as the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, better known as FIRE, notes that not all colleges are as hands-off in enforcing rules as Michigan State University happens to be. And the students have been punished for non-woke costumes in the past. Students should be aware that colleges may not be clear about how wrong costumes will be treated. So the guidelines can be kind of vague. And the rules can sometimes be subjectively enforced, meaning that if you happen to be a Democrat and you dress up like Barack Obama, as long as you're on the right side, then they may let it pass. But if you happen to be a member of the Young Republicans and then you dress up like Barack Obama, then you've broken every rule and you will be castigated, tarred and feathered, and run out of campus on a rail. Because that's the way it should be. Anyway, FIRE also notes that Halloween costumes are protected speech and that public colleges and universities must allow students to express themselves as the students, not the administrators, see fit. So that's their stance. And you know what? I tend to agree with that general practice, although when you start talking about self-expression and things of that nature, I think that it gets extended way too far. And I'm not certain that this is one of those bedrock fundamental principles of America that should be used to protect students from the bad decisions of administrators, because that indicates bad decisions by the student for going to a college or university that's run by administrators that make such poor decisions. They, in fact, should find a college or university where the administrators make better decisions, where they allow you to freely express yourself rather than just take all your money, indoctrinate you into a mindset that they approve and they only approve, and then expect you to go into hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt in order to continue to pay their exuberant salaries as they push their strange notions of how the world should be upon you, and then punish you if you fail to fall into 100% compliance with their ideas. That's a bad decision. You should not go to that college or university. You should find one that's run better. I would recommend some place like Hillsdale College, but you know, that's just me. It's just spitballing off the top of my head. Anyway, Fire points out that in order to be safe, college and university students might want to forego politically charged costumes and stick with more generic commentary on current events. According to Yandy.com, the headquarters for bizarre, overtly sexy costumes on the internet, they're featuring a sexy White Claws, sexy meatless hamburger, and sexy tariff costumes that are sure to confuse rather than oppress. That's an interesting way of putting it. I know just saying those things out loud kind of confused me. Not sure I get it. Not sure I should get it, quite honestly. Wow. Interesting conversation going on in the chat room. Anyway. So that's that, and I've been babbling long enough, and like I said, I had the little issue, but let's do the Edwards Notebook and the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day, and then when we come back, we'll actually talk about something that matters a little bit, at least in the state of California. Of course, the rest of the country should be concerned, because usually what happens in California does find a way of, in some form or another, making it around the rest of the country. Thank you, leftist. Stay with me, guys. I'll be right back.
If America continues to reject biblical principles, she will eventually find herself tossed upon the ash heap of history. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, the United States of America was founded upon the bedrock of both the tremendous principles enumerated in the living word known as the Holy Bible, and the insights of William Blackstone of Great Britain, whose influential writings helped solidify in the minds of our founding fathers the true basis of liberty. In regards to the Bible, numerous men of renown testify to its worthiness and what a blessing it is to both we as individuals and our republic as a whole. The great innovator and horticulturalist George Washington Carver stated, "The secret of my success? It is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It was Benjamin Franklin who noted, "A Bible and a newspaper in every house, a good school in every district, all studied and appreciated, as they merit, are the principal support of virtue, morality, and civil liberty." Wake up, America, and please see the light. I'm Ron Edwards. Please view my new website, theronedwards.talkspot.com.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County.
Dan Perkins here with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that perhaps as many as 50,000 disabled veterans have student loan debt? Are you one of them? Did you know that the president has issued an order not only to forgive the debt, but wants to make it easier and quicker and get it done now? So here's your veterans tip of the day. If you are disabled and you went to college, first of all, you are my hero. If you have been struggling with making the loan payments, you might be eligible to have your loans be forgiven, and there will be no federal income tax liability for the forgiven loan amounts. Contact your local VA center or go to va.gov for more information on how you can get this student loan paid in full. You had the courage to get an education. Paying off your loans is just another way for us to say thank you for your service. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
All righty, everybody. We are back. Thank you so much for staying with us through that very brief break. And once again, I'd like to give a shout out to the folks hanging out in the chat room. And because I did start earlier than usual, only a couple of folks in here hanging out with us. But part of the reason I'm doing it earlier is because, well, hey, to be honest, the only reason I waited till 8 on Tuesdays anyway was because I wanted Kel to be finished before I went on air. And since Kel's not on Tuesdays anymore, I don't really have that same allegiance to anyone else. Nothing against anyone else over at the Global Patriot Radio Network. Love all those guys, really do. But you know what? I would like to get done a little bit earlier so I can go do other stuff. You know, that's life balance stuff. Anyway, shout-outs to Chief, who happens to be the host of Simple Facts of Life that can be found on the home broadcasting platform of Tap Into the Truth, better known as blogtalkradio.com. So you can ease on over to Blog Talk Radio. You can do a simple search in the search bar for Simple Facts of Life. That'll take you right to his page. And if you're so inclined as to listen live, you can join him for 30 minutes starting at 6 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. You know, adjust that time to your appropriate time zone, but it's 6 p.m. Eastern. So wherever you're at, you know what to do. And also Vorpal Bites hanging out in the chat room as well. Both guys have been very active in the chat room tonight. So Chief busted my chops on mispronouncing locations. Thanks for that. And he did have a Chiefism that's worth sharing here. He said that, quote, "I love Halloween. I'm a cheapskate. And with this base, I don't have to spring for a mask." Then he also said a little after that, "I don't know if I'm going to dress as a NASCAR driver, a jockey, or a sprinter. In any event, I'll be dressed as a racist, car racist, horse racist, or foot racist." Ha, 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 ha. Anyway, very good, very good. Now, when Ron was with us this past Sunday, one of the topics that I touched on but did not get an opportunity to get into was the new gun control laws that have been signed into effect in California. It's kind of some of them is kind of troubling. Not that that's very surprising. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed more than a dozen firearm-related bills into law last week, including one that expands the state's existing red flag laws. Now, one law allows Californians to purchase just one long gun per month, and that starts in July of 2021. Another mandates that ammunition dealers at firearm shows have to follow the same regulations as licensed firearm dealers, meaning that they're going to treat ammunition the same as having to register to purchase an actual firearm. But there's one law in particular that's kind of being hailed as one of the most strict gun seizure laws in the country. The law will allow coworkers, employers, and even teachers to seek a red flag firearm restraining order against anyone that they believe to be a threat to themselves or others that asks a judge to temporarily take away someone's firearms. Now, this, of course, is being reported by the Sacramento Bee. Now, previously, only law enforcement or immediate family members could seek an order like that. Newsom also signed a companion bill to this excuse me, that allows the restraining orders to remain in place for 1 to 5 years. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. A companion bill that says if you get this restraining order, it can be left in place for up to 5 years. Now, this has actually been reported by the Associated Press, but obviously not a lot's been said about it to this point. Now, the same bill allows a judge to also issue a search warrant at the same time the restraining order is issued. The bill is so extreme that even the American Civil Liberties Union is speaking out against it. Reported on Fox News saying, quote, the American Civil Liberties Union opposed the bill, saying it, quote, poses a significant threat to chill. There's a typo. Sorry. Poses a significant threat to civil liberties. Yeah, it also poses a significant threat to chilling, by the way, unless you find it chilling whenever the Second Amendment is threatened. I can't believe I did that. This is what happens when I write my own notes in a hurry. Apologies. Anyway, according to Fox News, blah, 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 oppose the bill because it poses a significant threat to civil liberties, because a restraining order can be sought before a gun owner has an opportunity to dispute the request. Additionally, those making a request under the new law may lack the relationship or skills required to make an appropriate assessment. So, hey, how about the ACLU, boys and girls? Every now and then, they're actually on the right side of an argument, and I actually think they're pretty correct in that, because what qualifies these people to make that kind of assessment? What is it that's going to set them off? Hey, he said he was going to vote for Donald Trump. Obviously, he shouldn't have a gun. What? Wait. Say that again. And sadly, in California in particular, you're likely to run into judges that would agree with that assessment. Anyway, other Second Amendment advocacy organizations, including the National Rifle Association and California Rifle and Pistol Association, well, they very strongly opposed the law. Didn't matter. The law takes effect on January 1st of 2020. Now, I can't express to you enough the danger that this really puts on Second Amendment rights across the whole country. It is absolutely, it's mind-numbing to one degree. I mean, it really is. We talk about this over and over again. We talk about your personal liberties. We talk about how the Bill of Rights, the First Ten Amendments, shouldn't be messed with. Yeah, it's a law like this, though, is a workaround. You know, they use the whole idea of sounding reasonable. We don't want crazy people to have firearms. Okay, sounds reasonable. Who's going to argue with that statement? If you had to be crazy, if you're completely unpredictable, if you might hurt yourself or somebody else, probably shouldn't have a gun. Most reasonable people will agree with that statement. However, there is a difference between our judicial system, which is based on the idea that wrongdoers will be punished. Be great if we could actually get back to that at some point, but based on the idea that wrongdoers will be punished and that until you do something wrong, nobody's going to bother you. That was the idea of liberty. I mean, it's more nuanced than that, and you certainly can argue that that's way oversimplified and not even necessarily that precise. And I will agree with all that. But when it comes to your freedoms, when it comes to your rights, when it comes to the basic premise behind the legal system, that's kind of what they had in mind. So if I make a coworker angry in California starting next year, they can seek a red flag or firearm restraining order? Because you realize that's all it takes is somebody – we're practically back in Salem during the witch trials. A couple of teenage girls on the corner start rolling around on the floor and then pointing at me and saying I'm a witch. And the next thing I know, I'm getting dunked in the river. Well, if you float, you're a witch. If you sink, well, at least you weren't a witch. What? Coworkers, employers, teachers. Where do any of these, unless your employer happens to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and even then they're probably a little bit of a quack. How are they qualified to make this determination? No, there's nothing that could possibly go wrong with this, is there? But it's still a workaround to try and tear down the Second Amendment. Why do Democrats hate the Second Amendment so much? Because an armed populace cannot be easily defeated. Because an armed populace still has enough power that they can make decisions for themselves. An unarmed populace is simply at the mercy of the government that is armed. There's a reason why the framers broke down and listed the Bill of Rights. They argued over it. They fought over it. They made a big deal about it for a reason. And they eventually broke down and did it for a reason. And while some historians claim that there really isn't any significance to the order, I call BS. Those historians are, well, they're revisionist. There is significance in the order, particularly of the first five. They were very important, and they were important for reasons of we had just fought a revolution. We understood what it was like to be oppressed by a government that did not have the best interest of her people in mind. We should strive to never allow those conditions to exist in our constitutionally federated republic. We should strive to never allow those conditions to exist here ever again. But California's went rogue. California right now is like Turkey to NATO. They have went so far away based on where the state government is, where the Democrats there have went. They've went so far away from the founding principles of this country, it's hard to believe they're even still part of it. How is California still part of the United States of America? They hate the founding fundamental principles of this constitutionally federated republic. They hate it. They hate the principles. They hate the idea. They don't like the notion of individual liberty. Because with individual liberty comes individual responsibility, meaning the government doesn't have an excuse to keep sticking its hand in your pocket 45 times. The government can't get away with demanding $100 out of every $90 you earn. Where am I supposed to get the other $10? That's your problem. Cough it up, buddy. We've seen Democrats at the national level, strangely enough, some from California, that will legitimately make statements that can, even though it's not the actual words, you can boil down the statement to something as simple as they think of it as their money and we're lucky they let us keep any of it. I mean, it might as well be what they say verbatim. It's not, but that's what it boils down to. That's what they claim. They expect us to work for them. We've allowed this situation to build. Now, when I say we, I mean the general voting public. We've allowed it because a lot of people who vote have the strange notion that they should just play along. Some of them actually buy into the Democratic stuff. They shouldn't. California's crossing the line here, and you know it's been crossed when the ACLU, who's not been on the right side of an argument for a while, is coming out strong against what you're doing. Most reasonable people would give pause to that notion. But the Democrats, particularly the Democrats in California, it's full steam ahead. We haven't destroyed this beautiful state yet. So for those of you who live in California, I'm praying for you guys. You're going to need it. In the meanwhile, for the rest of you, especially for Chief and Vorp, thanks for being here. Thanks to everybody who's listened, wherever you've listened from. I certainly appreciate it. And that's going to have to be it for tonight. So remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in a little bit of effort, you know, doing a little actual fact-checking, not what passes fact-checking by the media. But more importantly, be prepared to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. Hope to see you guys again tomorrow night. In the meanwhile, I am out. Good night, y'all.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family. Using both hands.